Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. One of the last steps needed to allow oil companies to bid on land in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. The Trump administration yesterday completed a final environmental impact statement for drilling in the refuge's coastal plain. And as the Alaska Energy Desk's Elizabeth Harbaugh reports, the preferred course of action is to offer almost the entire area to oil leasing.
The Interior Department has released its final environmental analysis for oil lease sales in the northernmost 1.6 million acres of the refuge, known as the coastal plain. And the document states the agency wants to give oil companies the chance to explore almost that entire area. Interior had also proposed alternatives with tighter restrictions, including one that would put hundreds of thousands of acres off limits to help protect caribou habitat. Still, during a call with reporters, Bureau of Land Management Alaska State Director Chad Padgett said he believes the agency's preferred choice would strike the right balance between oil development and protecting the environment.
I'm confident that we are on track to do what Congress has asked us to do in a safe and balanced way that advances the president's goals of job creation and energy independence with a minimal impact to the area.
But environmental groups immediately condemned the environmental review, calling it a sham. Susan Colony with Audubon Alaska says she isn't surprised the Trump administration's preference is to maximize the amount of land available for oil exploration.
No matter how you cut it, oil drilling, you know, we don't think oil drilling belongs in the Arctic Refuge.
An effort to allow early stage oil exploration in the refuge last winter stalled. Joe Balash, the Interior official spearheading the effort to hold a lease sale, recently left the Trump administration to take a job at an oil company. Still, the Interior Department hopes to hold a lease sale in the refuge before the end of the year. It's unclear how much oil company interest there will be in the area. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Harbaugh in Anchorage.
A few hours before the Trump administration released the final EIS for leasing in the Arctic Refuge yesterday, the U.S. House voted to close the area to oil development. But as Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports, the bill is mostly symbolic.
Congress voted in 2017 to allow drilling on the coastal plain of the refuge. During the floor debate over whether to reverse that decision, Alaska Congressman Don Young told the sponsors their bill won't become law.
I will suggest respectfully it's dead. You're wasting our time. It will not go anywhere. That's why I'm not going to get really excited and go over there and never mind.
As recognized.
Well, I thank the gentleman for his restraint.
The prime sponsor of the ANWR reversal bill is Democrat Jared Huffman of California.
We need to reject this agenda of big oil and protect America's Arctic from oil and gas drilling.
Huffman cited opposition to drilling among Gwich'in communities south of the refuge. Young says Huffman is wrong not to listen to the Inupiat people on the North Slope.
The people that live there want the drilling. The people at least 150 miles away don't want the drilling.
It's hard to imagine any scenario in which the Republican leadership of the Senate would consider Huffman's bill. The House vote, though, shows Democrats are still trying to slow the Trump administration's momentum on ANWR. 225 House members voted to block oil development in the refuge. 193 voted against it. Four Republicans crossed the aisle to vote yes. Five Democrats were among the no votes. For Alaska Public Media, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Anchorage Mayor Ethan Berkowitz urged University of Alaska Regents meeting in Anchorage yesterday to fight back against Governor Dunleavy and some legislators' desire to drastically reduce state support for the university.
There is no reason for us to passively accept these cuts as something that is inevitable or something that cannot be reversed.
Berkowitz, a former Democratic state legislator, acknowledged a three-year funding deal Regents signed with the governor last month, but emphasized the level of support is ultimately up to the legislature. Regents are dealing with a $25 million cut for the current year, and Berkowitz urged them to work more closely with communities as they consider restructure options.
I would hope that as you move forward, there's a greater effort to incorporate the voices from those individual communities into your deliberations. I think, with all due respect, that has been lacking.
Berkowitz pointed to opportunities to ease the impact of state budget cuts by partnering with communities on transportation, parking, groundskeeping, and other non-academic areas. Berkowitz cautioned against consolidation of the university system and the danger of pitting communities against one another through restructuring.
If you put Anchorage against Fairbanks, and it might solve a temporary budget problem today, but if you look down the road 5 years from now, 10 years from now, that serves neither community well, and it also does great injury to the university.
Regents were receptive to Berkowitz's comments, and he offered a staff member to participate in a subcommittee looking at restructure options. Regent Daryl Hargraves, a Dunleavy appointee, says he's grown to appreciate the importance of the university to every community where it has a presence.
It's not just students. It's not just budget. It's a contributor to that culture and spirit of the local community.
Hargraves says that's becoming a bigger factor in his thinking about restructure plans. Moving from three separately accredited universities to one multi-campus institution is among options regents are considering. Their meeting runs through today. Meanwhile, Alaska House and Senate leaders sent a letter to UA President Jim Johnson Wednesday suggesting that the pace of change needs to be accelerated. The letter from House Speaker Bryce Edgman and Senate President Kathy Geisel refers to language in this year's operating budget, which directs UA regents to study transitioning to a single accreditation model and to report back to the legislature by December 1st. The letter says Regents' funding agreement with Governor Dunleavy, which calls for a $70 million reduction in state support over 3 years, puts a, quote, singular focus on structural consolidation, administrative overhead, and consideration of a single accreditation, unquote. After months of public comment, a building and development plan for neighborhoods along the Richardson Highway near Eielson Air Force Base was approved by the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly at a meeting last night. The plan focuses on the impact of stationing of two squadrons of F-35 fighter jets and the population influx they will bring. KUAC's Robin has more on the Salcha Badger Road area plan.
The Salcha Badger plan is designed to prepare for 3,000 to 4,000 more people coming to the area over the next 2 years. It gives current residents a chance to voice their desires before a lot of new neighbors move in. Kellen Spillman, the Deputy Director of Community Planning, said the area within a 20-minute drive from the front gate of Eielson Air Force Base would get the greatest impact from growth there. So the military paid for the planning.
The entirety of this plan was funded by the Department of Defense Office of Economic Adjustment.
While the F-35 squadron's impact may have driven the plan, it also looks at long-term development. Residents were surveyed in person on paper and online on the plan website, SalchaBadgerPlan.com. From the comments residents gave, four visions emerged.
Rural small town feel, respect for personal freedoms, thriving businesses and services, and access to year-round outdoor recreation.
Shelley Wade consulted on the plan. She noted the time put in by a working group of 22 residents and business people who met 7 times, several open houses that were well attended, and 2 mailings that were sent to every address in the area. More than 300 comments came in about air quality, transportation, housing, emergency services, and trails.
I think probably the most popular topic after trails was certainly junkyards and abandoned properties.
Wade says those public comments formed the plan's priorities and strategies.
Keep Salcha the same. We don't want it to change. We heard that very loud and clear. What residents valued are personal freedoms.
The Borough Planning Commission approved the plan in July. Ina Welch, who sits on the North Pole City Council, said the Salcha Badger plan complements the City of North Pole's plan.
We have a lot of new people coming up here, the military specifically. We need a plan, and we need to start working that plan so we don't become just another truck stop.
During short debate, Assemblymember Aaron Legiski says the plan could be improved.
I am always skeptical of central government planning. I'll hold my nose. I'll vote for it. I think that this is an upgrade from the old plan.
All other assembly members asked to be made co-sponsors of the ordinance, and it passed unanimously. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
And I'm Dan Bross.